This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to the Knife and Fork Radio Show with your hosts, Mike and Eric. But unfortunately, Mike's playing hooky today. That son of a gun, he doesn't want to do the show with me today. He said he had a doctor's appointment. Come on. Like, what's wrong with this guy? But anyway, so I told him, bring me a doctor's excuse, and I'll let you out of the station for today. But I do need a doctor's note moving forward, so he knows that. So he's good to go. Listen, I got a really good show lined up today. I've got a very special guest in the studio with us today. Louie.
Yes, sir.
How do you say your last name, man? I don't want to hack it up.
No worries. Scaramuzzi. Louis Scaramuzzi.
Louis Scaramuzzi. He's the big chef in the area. He's got his hands in a bunch of other different ventures as well. We'll get into that a little bit later as the show goes on. But he's going to be my esteemed co-host today. And Louis, like I tell everybody that comes into the station at any time, you're basically my co-host today. So this is our show moving
forward.
Love
it, man.
I want you to jump in. I want you to comment. I want you to laugh with me. I want you to say whatever you want to say, as long as the FCC and Ed doesn't cut us off back there in the production room, okay?
Not a problem, brother.
I think you've done this once or twice, so you should probably be pretty good with this.
I can go ahead and stand on my milk crate anytime when you want me to, brother. you got covered.
All right, cool, man. Sounds good. It's going to be a good show today. Ed, how are you back there in that production studio this morning?
Hanging in there on a Thursday.
Another fine Thursday. And I say it every week. This is my favorite day of the week. I love Thursdays. I love doing this radio show. I love having great people in the studio with me. And I love just talking to the people out there and having them listen and comment on Facebook and tell me, you know, that they either love the show or they hate it. I don't know. I've never got anybody say they hate it yet, but I'm sure somebody does.
No, I'm sure, man. You know, what you've got here is a really special opportunity. Go ahead and talk about our industry.
Absolutely.
See what's out there. See what's new and exciting. I mean, our restaurant world has changed so much in the last 3 years, as we all know.
Oh, my God.
But where we're at today and what we're doing and trying to get people to get more involved in that, you know, that we look at how it's changed, but what's the future of it?
Yeah.
It's how that we're treating our employees. I think that's an important fact.
Hands down.
And
absolutely.
I think that's what we have to look at, and we have to put our arms around them a little bit more.
Yeah.
And not to coddle them, but to go ahead and train them in a different way.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing now that I look at, especially in the kitchens as we see.
Yeah.
That we have to go ahead and really work our asses off a little bit more.
We do.
You know?
We do.
And as managers, as owners, that we have to go ahead and set that forefront.
It's a hustle.
It really is.
I'll tell you what, man. I know you probably grew up in the same kitchens that I grew up in. And, man, I used to have stuff thrown at me all the time, man. I would have my expo guy in the window just yelling and throwing stuff. And I remember one time, quick story, the guy's in the window. And I grew to love this guy. Like, he was my mentor moving forward in the restaurant industry. But we had different stations broken down the line. So you got station 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 whatever. And so station 3 was a very simple station, very quick execution. So you do pastas, you do like lasagnas and things. It was an Italian restaurant. So I remember this one guy, Ricky, was working on the end of the line. And Ricky, he tried to be a funny guy all the time, right? He was like the clown. And so we have this huge push. And back then, we didn't even have tickets. It was everything.
All
was
handwritten?
Made. It was handwritten, and it was verbally called out to you on the line. So
I remember those
guys,
days. We're aging ourselves right now when we're telling this. Because,
you know,
no POS, all handwritten tickets.
Everything was handwritten. And your expo guy had to be on point because he's calling the tickets as they're coming in.
Yep.
And he's pushing the tickets out. And you, as a line cook, you had to listen. And if you forgot anything, you're in trouble because you're bringing the whole line down. One dish brings a whole table down.
I can remember those days.
We had this one big push, right? And everyone's got like four or five different things, you know, very involved dishes. They don't just come up and throw into the window. Ricky, the funny guy on the end of the line, right? He just had like three lasagnas. So it's an instant push. We baked the lasagna off early. We held them in a humid controlled drawer.
Yeah.
And we would just spatula them out, sauce on top, throw it in the window. Literally 8 seconds to the window, from the kitchen to the window. Well, he puts his lasagnas up there. And then he just thinks it's funny. He's like, all right, guys, I'm done with my push. How long you guys got on yours? And he's laughing his ass off in the corner. I'm not even joking. Todd, he took these plates. His name was Todd. He took the plates, stacked them one on top of the other. Boom, marinara sauce everywhere. Boom, marinara sauce everywhere. Took the plates and just threw them at Ricky. They hit his back. They bounced on the floor. Broken glass, marinara sauce, hot lasagna everywhere, man. That's the kitchen I grew up in. You know what I mean?
I know those kitchens. Yeah. I can remember getting hit with a hot wooden spoon out of the pasta water on the back of the neck.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the kind of stuff that's just taboo nowadays.
We can't do
that anymore.
Yeah,
we're in a whole different network. We really are. And that's what we got to look at. And the thing is, we want to train these younger people to go ahead and understand it. They will never go through the hard knocks that we went through, Eric, at all.
And I'll tell you, I find it comes out in me sometimes because it's instilled in me. And sometimes I've got to take a step back when I get pissed because I'm that guy in the kitchen where it needs to come out. It needs to be right. It needs to be 100%. There is no exceptions in my world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now I'm getting older. I'm kind of understanding what you're talking about, and I'm a little bit more relaxed. But I'll tell you, I used to be an animal back in that window, too, back in the old days. Yeah. And now it's like, you're right, you just can't do it anymore. It's just one of those things.
You got to go ahead and you have to still have an iron fist with a silk glove.
Absolutely.
And that's the way you have to look at it. And you just got to just treat people with the utmost respect. And what you have to do is, I've learned throughout the experiences, you have to go ahead and earn the team's respect before anything else can move forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
And once they see that you're into the trenches with them, mm-hmm. they'll do anything for you. And I've learned that
that's the biggest part about it, being an owner, being an operator, being a manager, whatever your title is. If you're in the higher level in the restaurant industry, you got to get back there and you got to do it with them. You got to show them that you can do it just as much as they can, if not better than them.
Yeah, it has to be. Because if you're going to be the guys that are training them, and you have to be the guy on the forefront, you have to be the guy that's most humble. And I mean, Gordon Ramsay made it perfectly clear. Be a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Be humble. That's your second. And your third is always to go ahead. You're never going to make everybody happy in our business.
Absolutely.
And that's a true statement.
And you just got to realize that.
If you sit at an 85 percentile, you're better than 3/4 of the restaurants out there.
Absolutely.
And it's all what you put into it is what you want out of it. And that's what we got to look at. That's in anything in life.
Sure.
And that's, it's a form of training.
Yeah.
And it has to come with it.
It's got in discipline. You got to have discipline too. You have to have good self-discipline in order to get this done properly.
Yeah. I grew up in a very strict Italian household.
You're Italian, huh?
Yeah.
With that last name, I thought you were Chinese.
I thought it was Irish.
That's funny.
But no, I think... We got a lot of good stuff coming up this week, man. I think there's a lot of cool things that are happening out there.
Awesome.
I'm involved with a lot of different projects in a lot of different restaurants.
Yep.
My most important thing that I love to do is train in looking at all these new cuisines that are out there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm fortunate to be with three different types of cuisines right now that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
And downtown St. Pete, we have a little shop, and it's all street food. It's all street tacos.
Oh, nice.
It's real cool. It's called Teas and Tacos,
okay.
And it's at Janice Live.
Nice.
So, which you can't get any bigger than that. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, form for concerts privately.
Right.
I mean, holds 2,200 people.
Yep.
I mean, what we do in revenue a year is ridiculous. But
I
just
believe
what
it.
We're doing, and what we came out with this incredible street food, people are really taken to it.
Sure.
And the cool part is that we have another company which is called Drip Cannabinoids.
Yep.
Which is really cool because we have the cocktails that are infused with 10 milligrams. And mind you now, this is only Delta 8 and Delta 9. So this is not, we're not talking the THC that everyone else would THCA.
Right.
But what we're talking is that we have the cocktail that does, and it does, it's not a euphoric, but it does give you a nice relaxation.
That's awesome.
Which is great. And we also have the gummies, which I bought for you today.
Yes.
So we can take a look at all of this. But what we're going to do for 420 is that I'm going to be infusing guacamole, queso, pico.
Really?
Well, you'll be able to get a 2-ounce portion cup, and it will have your 10 millis in it.
No kidding.
So you're able to eat it, and you're able to feel this.
You're going to do this at Janice?
Yeah, we've got a concert on 420.
Okay.
And we're going to go ahead and be down there, and I'll be infusing some foods with that you'll be able to go ahead and try this out. We also have the drip cannabis drinks that we have here. I've got a black cherry and also an orange.
Right.
And then at our daiquiri bar, kind of crazy, we have, it's called Blue Dream is one of them.
Okay.
And that also has the THC in it.
Really?
Yeah, so we are really starting to take it to the forefront.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. Me personally, like, I'm not a consumer of, THC or weed. Like, it's never had the right effect for me. And my tolerance has always been so low that just one little tiny anything, I'm on the floor. You know, that's just how I am. But it's just but I'll tell you what, though, I'm a total advocate for it in every possible way. Just because it doesn't work for me and I don't necessarily enjoy the euphoric feeling that it gives you.
Understood.
Doesn't mean that it's not, you know, that it's not a great product that everyone that can tolerate it should be a part of. You know what I mean? There's huge healing qualities, as
absolutely.
You know. Absolutely.
Well,
you know, I mean, just mental stability.
Yeah.
I mean, for mental health, mental awareness. I mean, anything and everything that it represents is great. And there's no reason why people shouldn't give it a try, just to kind of, not necessarily self-medicate, but just to make themselves potentially feel better. I'm all for it. I think it's one of the best things out there.
I think that people need to have more knowledge on it before they judge it.
Yeah.
I think the fact of the matter that the CBD is actually more, it's for using for inflammation.
Inflammation, absolutely.
And I think that's an important, people that need to understand that this is a more of a healing process.
Yes.
And it's not going through the pharmaceutical,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why Big Pharma has so much against it, as we all know.
Well, without a doubt,
of course. We got to look at what the positives and the negatives on everything. But what it is that this is a natural plant that's been around for hundreds of years.
Yep.
And the properties that we're getting from it, and people are actually healing from it.
Yeah.
Is what we got to look at, and that's what I look at as what I've cooked with it in Colorado. I've now cooking it with it here, mm-hmm. and I'm just being able to go ahead and do the infusions. But it's about being able to heal.
Yeah.
And that's my big thing that I'm an advocate for.
No, I totally agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's exactly what it's for. And there's no reason why you shouldn't take advantage of it if you need it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because people, the biggest problem that we have in this country now is mental health.
Yeah.
We all know it.
And, it's true.
And mental health is what's taking down our youth. It's taking down, it has no age limit.
Right.
But what we look at is, how can you help people out? If there is a product that's out there,
yep.
and it's a natural product, then why would you not take advantage of
Absolutely.
It to go ahead and help yourself?
Yep.
And that's what it's about healing. And
yep.
this is what this does. It's a form of healing.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. You know, we've got all the medical dispensaries and things all over town. And I think that, you know, moving forward with Amendment 3,
yeah.
and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
What do you think that will do for you? Because now, if that does pass and recreational does get, you know, allowed across the board with drip, is that gonna pose a threat to you, since it's going to be so much more readily available just to the average consumer?
I don't think so. I think it's going to open up more avenues for every
Good.
One of us, and then that's the whole thing we look at, is that this is a big market.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's $280 billion a year market.
$280 billion,
yep.
and in South Florida alone, it's over $10 billion alone.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, that's a huge market space.
Huge.
So what we look at is that, yeah, there's enough room for everyone to grow,
Good.
And there's, and as long as the product is quality and it's pure, that's what you look at.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much where you're at.
Awesome.
What we want to do, but I think, you know, the fun part is that what we do for our living, and that we know with the coworkers that are around us, and we know we can tell how people act and react.
Of course.
But we're in it to win it, because my whole thing is, I have a passion for food. Food is my life.
Yeah.
It really is. And it shows. I mean, you can see a lot of the photos that I post every day. I want people to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I want to go ahead and take advantage of that, so people can come out and try what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like where we're at. I mean, up in Lando Lakes, where Mike and I are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one heck of a spot. I mean,
beautiful.
As if you look at that, we're right on the lake.
Yep.
You don't have views like that.
It's
but
a beautiful,
we're bringing
beautiful location.
The quality.
Yeah.
And the food of what we're doing, we really want to raise the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't think about putting a paella on a menu up there, but we're doing it,
yeah.
you know, and we're
and
using.
And it's probably selling.
Oh, like mad.
Yeah.
And then we have a wild mushroom farm that's literally not even a mile away. Thank you, Mike, for that, because he's hooked us up with some of the most incredible
awesome.
Species that they have.
Awesome.
From pink oyster mushrooms, black oyster mushrooms, hazelnut, yellow leaf. I mean, just when you look at these things, and I've posted them on Facebook for people to take a look on Stonewater's Facebook page, and
right.
you can see this is what we're using. We're using all fresh quality products.
Yeah.
We want people to know what we're doing, and I cook seasonally. So like now we're into spring, so I'm looking for like the zucchini flowers,
sure.
the baby zucchinis. I'm looking for, you know, the different types of fungi that we can get, or anything that's different. And right now there's a shortage, like on Starburst patty pans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not out there right now. So
right.
because of the weather conditions. So what we're looking at is what we can utilize for the freshest and the quality.
Right.
And that's where we're at. We're in spring. Then we get right into summer. So I want to get into the different things.
Awesome.
And so it's what we're doing is we're trying to educate our consumer.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, give them things that they're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're excited about
no,
it.
I love it. And,
yeah.
you know, I was down at your place last week, I think, after
yeah.
the show last Thursday. I came
That's
down
right.
there and met with you for a little bit. And I got to tell you, if you folks out there listening right now haven't been to that restaurant, it's called Stonewater Grill,
yes.
right? Stonewater Grill out in Land O'Lakes. You have to make a trip out there, and you got to go check the place out. When he says it's on a lake, I mean, it is the most beautiful view. How many seats do you have out on that patio out back?
We probably got about Almost close to 280.
I was going
to
say, it's massive.
It's massive.
And you got a couple of bars. You got one inside, two outside from what I saw. You
live entertainment,
You can pull your boat right up to the boat ramp, and you can get off your boat and go and eat.
And you can actually stay on the dock because we have tables right on the dock where you can sit right out there and really enjoy and take it on in and see a couple little alligators every now and then rolling by, you know. Yeah. Our little natural habitat that we got going on.
Yeah, right. Really cool spot.
I got to tell you, up there, it's like a little hidden gem.
Yeah,
for sure. And people, once they realize it's there, it's really starting to take place.
Good. How long have you guys been open now?
2 years.
2 years at that location?
2 years, yeah. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's and Dominic has done a phenomenal job. I mean, Mike's done a phenomenal job. The staff is, you know, they're all on point.
That's it.
And they pretty much have all the staff has been there for 2 years. I'm the newbie. Okay. I've only been there for almost 3.5 months.
Oh, that's it.
So that's it. I'm only But we gel so good. It looks like we've been together a lifetime.
I would have bet you were like the founding father of the operation. You know what I mean? That's great.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah.
You know, it's when you're with good people and you know that you have a team.
Yeah,
it seems like you work together forever.
Absolutely.
And that's how we feel there.
Yeah. And that's how, like, Mike and I, when he and I worked together previously, and now we're on the radio show, you know, like I tell everybody, it's like we've known each other for so long. He was my roommate for years back when we were kids and, you know, whatever, back in the old days.
Yeah.
And it's like we could just finish each other's sentences now. It's like I could just end it and he could just pick it up and go because we know each other so well. And when you have your crew like that in the restaurant that you're working with, you probably got a staff of, what, 100, 120 people probably?
Probably a little bit more there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when everyone gels together and everyone can finish each other's sentences and you know what the quirks are, you know what the little idiosyncrasies are, and you can get around it, you can figure it out and work through it. It's a beautiful thing, man.
It's almost like a symphony, right? And you're like the conductor.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's a conductor, and he's just going, and just making beautiful music.
That's it.
And that's what it is. It's an art.
Yeah.
We're in the arts, and that's what we got to look at, and I wish people would take that more. We're just not putting food on a plate. And the first of all, we got to go ahead and back it up there for a minute. We're not selling food. We're selling an experience.
Right, right.
And that's what people need to understand. You're coming in there, and it's from the first point of contact, whether it's from a valet or it's from the hostess, right down to when they get to the table. But that's where it comes from. But it's the experience, and that's what you're selling. So you got to have a smile on your face. And I try to teach every one of my staff is that you got to have a game face on, no matter how bad it is
even
on the outside.
If you're just answering the phone, and the person can't even see you, you got to still have that smile because that translates through the telephone.
Absolutely,
to the customer.
It really does.
Absolutely,
because people can tell. Just by the tone in your voice.
Of course.
And they can tell. They can tell from, people read body language nowadays, and that's what you got to do.
It's true.
And I think the most important as owners is that you get to not just to know your staff, but you have to connect with your staff every day. I make sure that I greet each and every one of my staff members every day.
You and I are very similar. Yeah,
well, you have to because that's the only way you can gauge their day. That's the only way you know what their productivity is going to be.
Yep.
So how can you not know if you don't go in there and go right to the forefront and say, hey, Joe, how are you doing today, man?
Sure.
Everything's good? Good morning.
Yep.
A simple good morning with a smile on your face.
It goes a long way.
But the thing is, as most chefs, and I know this, will come in with a really shitty attitude. They're like,
sorry.
Oops, sorry about that. So if they're shitty attitude, they're like,
sorry.
Oops, sorry about that. So if they're coming in with an attitude like, you know, and they've got a long puss on, the staff is already concerned how the day's going to go. If you come with a great attitude, you're able to go ahead and really
of course
put it forefront,
and then you're good.
And then the thing is, the productivity is going to be 10 times more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it is, and that's what I look for. And it's not about the quantity; it's about the quality.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to look at. It's the quality in the individuals.
Yeah.
To pull out the best.
I love it.
And I think that's the important part. If we do that, then we're really moving on the right directive.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love everything about it. Louie, we're going to take a real quick break here. It's 9:24. We're running a little bit late in this first segment. When we come back, we're getting to the top 10 restaurant complaints across the board.
Love it.
A little information segment for the listeners and for us out there. And then we're going to talk to you a little bit more about your future endeavors moving forward, Louie, okay?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You got to stick with us. We'll be back in a minute or so.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen, we never compromise quality. Every dish is made to order, and everything that goes in the dish is made from scratch. From our delicious marinara sauce to our homemade croutons that go on your Caesar salad and everything else in between. We offer dine-in, take-out, and delivery as well. Call us at 727-841-8864 or check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com. We also have a full catering menu available for all of your large party needs. Mention this ad and get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's Goodfellas Knife
Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen. We're located at 5446 Grand Boulevard in beautiful downtown Newport Richey. You can reach us at 727-841-8864. Check us out on the web at www.goodfellowsitalian.com.
Shenyun! Shenyun 2024 are coming to the Tampa Bay area May the 3rd through the 5th at Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. Shenyun revives 5,000 years of civilization through choreographed dance, music combining classical Western and Chinese instruments, and innovative 3D backdrop. Come and see it once in your lifetime. Tickets at shenyun.com/FL.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Knife and Fork Radio Show with your hosts, Louie and Eric, this morning, 9:26 in the Tan Talk Radio Studios over here in beautiful downtown Clearwater, almost downtown Clearwater. That's a little bit of Rage Against the Machine, in case y'all don't know who that was. It gives our little intro music in there. One of the best bands of the 90s, and in my opinion, one of the best bands of all time. I'm a huge heavy metal guy.
Got it.
I don't care for rap. I don't care for country. I like heavy bass lines. I like loud guitars. I like screaming vocals. That's my style of music right there. Thank you, Rage Against the Machine, for leading us into this second segment. We really greatly appreciate it. We're going to get into a fun topic, I think, right now. It's the top 10 restaurant complaints ranked by the customers across the board. So basically, the customers, this is just a listing of what irritates the customers the most at any given restaurant. And we're not pinned down to any type or style of restaurant in particular. Quick serve, it could be fine dining, any type of restaurant establishment is basically what this is. And if you want to take a stab at any of these, Louis, please, by all means, what do you think the biggest complaint would be as far as customers are concerned with the restaurant industry?
I think it's quality of service is what it is. I think that's the biggest thing that's been sacrificed.
Yep.
And just that when you go into a restaurant and you have terrible service.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And that's what I think is the worst thing. And it can start, like we were just talking about, from the minute you walk into the establishment.
Absolutely.
That it's just how you're greeted. If you're not greeted with a smile and if you're not greeted warmly, that goes miles. And also having a staff that's not knowledgeable of their menu.
Of course.
And the worst thing is when someone asks, when I go to a restaurant, how does a dish taste, or what is in this? And they say, I don't know. Yeah. I'll have to ask, or I've never had that.
Right.
Those are the wrong answers.
100% of the time, those are wrong.
And that's what you got to look at. Why would you want to not know and have the knowledge of what you're serving?
Absolutely.
You know, because
you've got to be an expert.
Absolutely.
You know? If that's your job, then you've got to be an expert at your job.
You look at it this way. They're not servers. They are that's your sales force. And I tell every one of them, I said, this is your office. You can choose to make as much as you want or as little as you want. And if you have to take that opportunity to do that, it's on you.
Of course.
The more knowledge you have for the consumer, the more money you're going
to
make.
Because they want an expert taking care of them.
Absolutely.
They don't want some fly-by-night, you know, not knowing what's going on, come to the table. And kind of like, basically, they're walking the server through the process.
Exactly.
They need an expert. Well, you hit two of the top ten in that sentence right there. The poor customer service would be number two.
Yeah.
That would be, and the lack of knowledge is... Actually, lack of knowledge comes in at number 11. I apologize. I didn't make it on the top 10, but it did make the list.
Okay.
Number 10 on the list, when the website isn't working properly. People get irritated about that, online ordering and such.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be a big issue.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of people nowadays, we're moving so fast that they don't have time. They want something, and they want it now.
Yeah.
And if your website's not working correctly, and
absolutely,
if your online ordering is jacked up,
yep,
then it becomes a problem for people.
And we live in an age of convenience now, too. People don't want to. They don't want to wait on the phone.
No.
They don't want to wait for a response and process payment. They want it now, and they want it delivered. They want it hot. They want it fresh, and they want it exactly the way that the website describes it. So, I get that in this age of convenience that we live in right now. It's a huge factor.
If it doesn't look like the picture on the website, then you're going to have issues.
Absolutely.
And
right.
That's what it is. And that's what people all go. We eat with our eyes, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing is our visual. So if it looks the way it's supposed to be on the site, it better be the way when it comes
exactly
to
delivery. Exactly right. Yep.
You know,
number nine, food poisoning. I guess that could be a big complaint.
That's huge.
I'm surprised that made it at number nine, and that's not farther down the list towards the beginning, towards the ones and twos.
Listen, we know that there's six foodborne illnesses
absolutely
that's out there, and it can happen at any establishment. Yep. And it has happened, guaranteed, 100% at almost every establishment.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
It's just the food safety is most important.
Yep.
And I think that's what we really got to look at, and making sure that our employees are following all the food safety codes.
Yep.
From, you know, changing your gloves after every use,
absolutely,
always washing your hands, making sure there's no cross-contamination. We
yep.
have color-coded cutting boards for a reason.
Of course.
Making sure you have your sandy buckets on the
yep.
line. And just doing the right thing, and working clean, and actually making sure. I mean, the one thing is that it comes with your own personal hygiene first.
Oh, boy.
And that's what we have to look at. And
no, you're 100% right, yeah.
If an employee comes in and they're not looking well put together, you know, you're going home.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate
right.
because you're putting other people's lives at danger.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to take a look
and,
at.
And, you know, I've worked at other establishments before where, like, the health inspector will walk in the door.
Yeah.
And the owner / manager, they start freaking out immediately. They grab
yeah.
a broom. They grab a mop. They, you know, do
yeah.
this. They're in the walk-in, you know. I love it when the health
yeah.
inspector walks into my restaurant. I invite them in.
Me too.
It's
I love
not
that
a problem.
Part.
You know what I mean? I know everything is labeled.
Yeah.
Everything is dated in my coolers.
That's it.
Everything is rotated properly. You know what I mean? I've got the proper rotation of the meats and, you know, seafood and produce, blah, 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 whatever. You, I mean, I do everything by the book. And so when the health inspector walks in, I don't have to worry about it.
No.
I sit down and I'll grab a cup of coffee and I'm like, let me know if you need anything. I'll be
yeah.
right here with a pen ready to sign you out when you're done. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. And I've been all through this area from Clearwater through Tampa and all. I've pretty much met most of the health inspectors, but
yeah.
there's so many new ones that are out there now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're coming out and they're a little more aggressive, which they need to be, because
yes.
and it's crazy because every 3 months there's always something new that changes in our industry, right?
Every time.
So
yep.
you have to go on their website and
stay
get
current.
The updates
yep.
because that's the only way you're going to know.
Yep.
And it's when you get to know this, it's like making sure everything is posted, making sure that everything is followed by the book, because
yep.
the state of Florida is one of the more up-to-date
right.
than a lot, because when I was, even when I was in Manhattan, the worst thing you can ever have is they'll put that big 10-foot rat in front of your establishment if you get a bad health inspection.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I don't even
yeah.
know what you're talking about right
so,
now.
So, when they have it like an A, B, C, D...
I know the letters. Yeah.
But if you get an F, okay... they bring this big blow-up rat.
Oh, my God.
And it goes right in front of your establishment.
You're kidding me.
No, we've walked down many times.
Where is this?
Manhattan.
What state?
In New York.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. You would see some things.
I can't wait to get done with this show so I can Google some images of this and see what the hell you're talking about.
When you see this stuff, it's pretty crazy.
That's amazing.
Or anything that rat goes up for other reasons that are in restaurants,
right.
too. So, but it's insane how different states operate.
That is
right?
so funny.
And how they allow that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's all, everyone knows, everything is, you can get everything online on any of the ratings from any restaurant
right.
where you get a health inspection.
Of course.
And so what you look at is the violations of a restaurant. And if they have a repeat violation where they're still having the same thing going over, whether it comes to the point if it's where their refrigeration's not up to the right temp.
Of course.
Which is a big thing.
That's huge.
I mean,
it's
so
huge.
Things like that, and it comes from the managers and the owners to go
yeah.
in and keep on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the foodborne illness thing
it's
is tough. Is
yeah. tough. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised it came in at number 9. Number
yeah.
8 on the list, biggest complaints, when menu items are unavailable. I can see that. You
86.
Know. 86.
That's not in my
86.
Vocabulary.
Yeah, that's it, man. 86.
That's it.
Yep. And that's, yeah, it's an industry term. It's
yeah.
an industry standard.
It really
you
is.
Know? And
yeah.
It is disheartening when you go someplace, you've got your heart set on something, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to take this, and they're, sorry, we ran out, or we don't have it, or
yeah.
the prep guy didn't make it today, or whatever. It's a pain in the ass.
Well,
it's a pain in the ass.
I think the excuse was, before the pandemic, we had no problems.
Right.
After the pandemic, we had the issues of shipping, trucking.
Supply chain.
The supply and demand,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Now we're getting back to a point where we shouldn't have this problem.
Absolutely.
But we're still feeling it in certain areas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we... as owners and chefs have to take a look at it, and you have to go ahead and have multiple choices.
Absolutely.
And if you have
yeah,
that,
you have to pivot.
Absolutely. If you don't pivot, you're not doing your job.
In our line of work, if we can't pivot on the drop of a dime, then we should be doing something else.
Absolutely.
Because you never know what the hell's going to happen 1 minute to the next in the restaurant business. And it's true. It's not like a 9-to-5 job where you go
yeah.
in and you know, you're a teller at a bank and you're counting money all day long. You know, I'm sure that has its challenges as well. Don't get me wrong. But you know what your day is lined up.
Exactly.
And you know what your day is going to bring. You never know, man. Our business is nothing but curveballs.
It reminds me of that, you know, that little eight ball that you shake.
Yeah, the magic eight ball.
The magic eight ball, and turn it up, and you know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
That's our day every day.
That's every single day. Like when I leave here, I go straight into the restaurant. I have no idea what my challenge is going to be when I walk through the door.
Exactly.
I'm optimistic that there's not going to be a challenge, but I'm also prepared for any challenge that comes my way, because that's just what we do for a living.
Yeah.
Why are we in this business, Louie? What the hell is wrong with us?
It's a form of some type of psychotic behavior. behavior that we have.
Yeah.
We like to punish ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On a daily basis. Yeah.
We really do because it is, it's almost like sadomasochism, to be honest with you. You think about it. It's like, I like the pain every day.
That's it. That's where we are. Yeah.
It really is. But we thrive on it.
It's true.
The different thing is that I think the energy level that we have and that I can just the rapport that we have, we can tell. We're go-getters. We're those type of guys.
Yep.
And a lot of these guys in this industry, like the owners that I'm with now, these guys are amazing, right?
Yeah.
They just understand it. They know how to get out. They know the heartbeat of the industry.
Yep.
But if you can do this industry, you can basically do about anything
else. I'll tell you what. You absolutely can. You know, I mean, I learned how to speak in front of people because of the restaurant business. I'm doing a radio show because, you know, I'm just because I'm good with people. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid to speak. And, you know, I mean, just my hands. I'm independent. I can independently move either one of my hands at any given time and do whatever I need to do. I can be left-handed or right-handed. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a great industry, it is. And it's the only thing I know how to do. So you got to be good at it. Well, like you said, you got to be an expert.
Well, the thing is this, it's, I think it's the self-gratification that we get from it is the most rewarding for me.
Yeah.
When I know people are happy with the food that I put down,
it's the best feeling in the world.
If you can make people happy through your tummy, then you've done a job.
And absolutely.
Listen, and I try to tell everybody, and this is a true statement. I'm going to take this from the bear. Every second counts.
Yep.
It really does.
Yeah.
And that's an important statement to say.
Yep.
But the most important thing is that we're not neurosurgeons. We're not curing cancer. We're not doing open heart surgery. We're feeding people.
Yeah, that's it.
And if you take that simple concept and all the stress that you're putting in front of yourself, you can't beat the time. And when you know, when you've got 50 tickets in front of you, and you know how it is. And I mean, it's a lot at Stonewater. It gets like that
often. I know it does.
And it just bangs. So you look at it and you say, okay, just take your time. All we can do is carve it out. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? Yeah. One bite at a time.
That's it. That's exactly right. It's funny you said neurosurgeon because I filled an online application to become chief neurosurgeon, and for whatever reason, they never got back to me. I'm still waiting for that response. That was 7 years ago. I've never done any kind of medical training whatsoever, but I said, you know what? I work in a restaurant. How hard can it be?
Nah,
I can use a knife.
Come on, I can do this. I can chop. A little gray matter? What does that do?
I don't even look at my hands when I'm chopping. I can talk to you and chop. How hard can it be?
Yeah,
I'm still waiting to get that phone call back from them. I'm optimistic again. Number seven on the list, issues with seating. You know, so like loud when you're set by a kitchen, you know, like an open kitchen, noises, things like that. You know, maybe AC vents right over the top of your cold.
The acoustics in restaurants, right? Okay, I've worked in some pretty big restaurants, and if they're marble floors and the walls, you know, that bounces. And it does, unless you are able to go ahead and control that. People get offended.
They do.
They want a more intimate setting.
Yep.
And then a lot of times you got to tell people that's not the setting here.
I've had to say that several times. You know what I mean, over my career.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can only control what you can control.
That's it.
And the noise when you have people in there, the octaves are going up.
Absolutely.
So we
especially when you have like you said, like marble floors or you know, granite, you know, tabletops and whatever. Everything echoes. Everything bounces, and you can't. There's no way you can get away from it.
You can't get
away from
sound waves.
But then there's people that love that about restaurants. You know, they like the open kitchen. They like the element of rowdiness and noise. You know, people enjoy that as well. So you got your, you know, you got your lefts and you got your rights.
It's all in the vibe, right?
That's it.
And that's what you got to look at. It's like, what vibe are you shooting for? If you want that intimate thing, then you're gonna go to something a little bit smaller.
Of course.
If you want to be around a lively crowd, live music,
energy.
Energy, and that's a whole different vibe.
Yeah, that's it. I get it. Number six on the list: menus that are overpriced. I can see how that would be an issue, but I mean, in this day and age, you know, I mean, one of the things I wanted to talk about, I don't know if I have time today, is just, you know, the increasing costs across the board, you know, on product. You know, I mean, at any given time, I mean, I buy ground beef. I buy a ton of ground beef in my place. I buy a ton of chicken from my restaurant, and the prices are just, they're constantly just going higher and higher. Heavy cream. I go through a ton of heavy cream.
Yeah.
Because I'm Italian, you know, the restaurant I have is Italian, so we do a lot of Alfredos and cream-based sauces and soups and things like that. And, man, we're upwards of $6.50 a quart for heavy cream right now.
Yeah.
Ground beef can touch $3.50 a pound. I've seen at some points maybe higher. Chicken, you know, chicken's kind of stabilized a little bit. But the thing about our business is you can only increase the menu price so much before you piss off your customer base. So we have to absorb those menu or those rising costs as much as we can until we can't hold out anymore.
Well,
you
got to look at this way. Everyone who goes to the grocery store, they see the cost is elevated beyond belief. You can't walk out of a Publix without spending $150 and you have literally nothing in your basket.
Minimum.
So what people need to understand is just like, because we're heavy seafood, we're heavy primals.
Sure.
And like, just you know, when you're buying grouper and whatever species, if you're going red grouper, if you're spending more than $18-$19 a pound, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going into black grouper, you're spending $27 to $35 a pound.
The roof, and you got to charge for it. You know?
If you don't, you got to make your margins, and you got to do it in the right way. So when they say that every ounce counts, because that's how you have to go ahead and calculate your dollars to.
Every single ounce.
Really does.
Every ounce counts, because you're paying for that skin that might be going into the garbage. You're paying for, you know, that fat that, that's being trimmed off the ribeye that you can't serve. You know, people don't realize that. Yeah, you're getting a nice prime cut at your table, but you've lost 15% of that back in the kitchen before it even goes onto the grill.
Yeah.
Then you're paying a cook $25 an hour to make it. You know what I mean? So it's a crazy
Where's your
circus.
Margins? And you haven't even put the utilities or anything else.
Oh, yeah,
that
I'm
goes
not even going
to
talk about that.
So we don't want to go with that.
No,
and
I'm
that's
just,
the calculation when people got to realize when you're spending on an entree anywhere from the $40 to $50 range, that are they think they're getting a value.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. People want a value for their dollar.
Absolutely.
And I think what they also have to take a look at is that the cost of the goods that what you're getting and for the quality of the freshness, that's what you're paying for.
Yep.
I mean, and that's why you got to get in the way of, oh, I'm paying for this food. No, you're paying for the whole experience.
You're paying for everything.
And that's the whole thing. The minute that you walk through.
Yep.
And so that's what I think the confusion needs to be taken out.
There can be confusion when people just aren't educated and they don't understand what goes
Absolutely.
Into it. You know, number five, long wait times for food, long ticket times in the kitchen. Man, that is my biggest enemy in this business. I am a freaking maniac about ticket times. If my kitchen is running more than 15 minutes on tickets, I lose my cool. I mean, I am an animal with ticket times.
Totally
there is
understand
no excuse
that.
For long ticket times.
The only thing I can tell you is that you kind of put it into a directive that you can only push out 10 pounds of food out of a 3-pound window,
right?
And that's how you got to look at it. And I don't care. You can have 10, 12 guys on the line. You can only put out so much, and you can only have, when you have food runners, and when you have big restaurants, the ticket times can run pretty long.
And the
problem is that when you have parties in between it,
oh, forget
you've got
it,
everything going on at
you
the same
time. You've
got a party
of 25 going out, and then you got a two-top behind it.
And
you can only push that two-top off so far before you have to push out that 20 or push that 25-top off so long. You have to put some food out at some point.
Exactly.
You
so
know?
You have to manipulate the clock. You got to manipulate your tickets. You got to be able to go ahead and have a good inside expo.
Yeah.
You got to have a great... at least two great outside expos, and then you got to have food runners that are hopping and servers that need to run their own food and help each other. And that's the whole thing in this industry is it's one team.
Oh, it's all teamwork, 100%.
And 100%. What's gotten confused with this is that it's the heart of the house now, you know, and that's what people aren't looking at in the industry is that it's everyone's together. You got to get the food out.
Yeah.
You got to get it out as quick as possible.
Yep.
And then you got to have, unfortunately, there's always going to be damage control, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Yep, and that's
always.
The thing.
And, you know, that's the thing about long ticket times. I would always, you know, if I didn't know on the floor, if I'm running the floor, because I liked working the window better because I can manage my tickets and the food and whatever. I'm a kitchen-driven guy. I grew up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I started in the kitchen. Then I made the transition to front of the house, learned all front of the house. Then I became managing partner and blah, 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 area, whatever. It is what it is. But I've always been a kitchen guy myself to the end of the day. So I always gravitated towards the expo window in my restaurants. And I wanted to control the food. I wanted to control the kitchen from the outside. In those, you know, other days where I was working the floor, you know, if I wasn't educated on the floor about what my ticket times are, I'm constantly looping. I'm looking at the kitchen. I'm looking at my ticket times. And long ticket times were fine as long as I was able to intercept it before it got to the table.
Yeah.
You know, that was my thing on the floor. Like, I would tell my expo or whoever's in the, listen, if you're running long on anything, I don't care. Just tell me.
Yeah.
And I will go and make it right at the table before it becomes a problem. You can run an hour long on a ticket, for all I care, when you're supposed to be running 15, 20-minute ticket times. I'm going to go and touch that table probably two or three times before that hour expires, and then I'm going to make sure I'll get them a round of drinks. I'll do whatever it takes. But you better goddamn well make sure that when that food hits the window, it's perfect. Because
Absolutely.
I'm not my biggest thing is I'm not going to run subpar food out to a table that's
after they've
already
had
been
a
waiting an hour.
Absolutely
for the food.
Not.
You better make sure that food is 100% on point when it hits that window, and I don't even want to look at the plate. I don't want to wipe it. It better be perfect. I want to grab it. I want to go.
Absolutely, you know? And that's deserved to the customer no matter what. And that's the whole thing you got to look at is right there. Is the biggest point that you just made was that you have to go ahead and touch that table, and you have to go ahead.
That's it.
And
you have to.
Because the managers we'll go ahead and get that to go ahead to the right point from that.
Right.
The kitchen has to communicate. And the yep. biggest thing that you just said is communication.
All communication.
It's all
everything.
About communication. Everything
communication.
That we do is communicating
yep.
skills.
Yep.
And it comes from the top. So
yep.
the inside expo has to communicate with the outside expo
yep.
to make sure everyone's on the same page.
100%.
Listen, we're running back on this. This is the reason why we're behind.
Go talk
Can
to
you
the
go
table.
Talk to the table now?
Absolutely.
We're
going
to run about another 10 to 15 minutes on this.
Yep.
Once they communicate that, then we can control the issue.
That's
you can't
it.
Control the issue if you don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to. It's all
it
communication.
Really
yep. Number four on the top 10 list, lack of cleanliness. I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's self-explanatory. We already touched on that with the health department issues
Absolutely.
And all that. Nobody wants to go into a dirty restaurant.
No.
Number three on the list, when orders get mixed up and they get delivered wrong.
It happens.
You know?
It happens.
It happens.
You know, I look at it this way. A lot of times you should put positions on your tickets so that it makes it much easier.
Right.
And that's teaching your staff how to go ahead and reposition.
Sure.
I think that's the smartest way to do it to avoid, because who wants to auction food?
Hey, I hate it.
Who's got the grouper?
I hate it.
Who's
I hate it. I hate it.
You know,
yep.
you go out to the table, you feel like you're inadequate.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So why would you want to make yourself at your own establishment
yeah.
feel like you don't know what direction you're going
absolutely
in?
Absolutely right.
So why wouldn't you do your, you,
just
you got a four
line
top,
up.
You're going one,
that's
two, three, four. You know where
that's
your
it.
Positions are.
To your left is one, inside's
exactly.
two, three is on the right,
there
four is closest on
this
your
is,
right
this
knee.
This is just common
this
sense
This is Restaurant 101.
Exactly.
And when I would work in the expo window, going back to the previous number, I would trade up in order of delivery.
Exactly.
So the point of the tray would be positioned one, to the right would be two, three, four,
three, four.
So on and so forth.
Yes.
So there was no questions. The server comes and picks a tray up, drops it off of the table,
yeah.
and it's magic. How'd you know I had this? I've never even seen you before.
See.
Don't worry about it, all right? Just eat your food and shut
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And that's where you teach your food runners. Your food
it.
Runners that are delivering to know the same
yeah.
positions. So that's
yeah.
what we did. I mean, a lot of big restaurants that I worked in Clearwater, that's the only way that we'd roll.
That's it.
And nowadays you see a lot where it's just two by two.
Right.
And that's what they're going. So that should be
right.
also the same scenario.
Absolutely.
You know this is one, this is four,
yep.
you know where you're going, and that's how you just
that's
gotta,
it.
It's organization.
The only time it gets tricky, and I'll always be on the server side,
yeah.
is when you've got like a large party of 15, 20
oh,
people.
Oh gosh, yes.
And they get up and they move after they order. And then the server goes over. And now at that point, you have no choice.
Now,
yeah,
you have
to
now
say,
the auction
hey,
begins.
Who had the ribeye?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They get up and they move. They were sitting over here in position one. Now they're sitting in position 14. You have no way to know that as
no.
a food runner.
No.
You know, and you can't really
yeah.
do anything about it. I'll
yeah.
always be on the server side when it comes
yeah.
to that.
Aunt Margaret just moved and we had no idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
of
so
course,
it happens.
Yes. There's a couple of caveats to that, but that's definitely one of them. And then we talked about number one already, subpar food and drink quality. It comes in at number one on our list. Louis, we're going to take one more quick commercial break. We're going to head out for about a minute or so. We're going to come back. It's going to be about 9:50 or so when we get back. We're going to wrap up the show for the next 10 minutes when we come back, and we'll go about our days.
All right, brother.
We'll see you guys in about a minute or so.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen, we never compromise quality. Every dish is made to order, and everything that goes in the dish is made from scratch. From our delicious marinara sauce to our homemade croutons that go in your Caesar salad and everything else in between. We offer dine-in, take-out, and delivery as well. Call us at 727-841-8864 or check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com. We also have a full catering menu available for all of your large party needs. Mention this ad and get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen. We're located at 5446 Grand Boulevard in beautiful downtown Newport Richey. You can reach us at 727-841-8864. Check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. 9:49. You're listening to the Knife and Fork Radio Show with your hosts, Louie and Eric, this morning. Hopefully, everyone's enjoying the show. Hopefully, you're getting some good information, and we're giving you some tidbits and some facts and knowledge about the restaurant business that you may not have known about previously. This is our lives, people. This is what we do every day. This is not a drill. This is what we do. The minute we leave here, we're going to work.
We are not stopping.
No, we're not.
This train has left the station.
I'll tell you what, that's true, and that's true. Now, I know we talked a little bit about drip before, and I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit more for our listening audience out there and just give them a little bit of insight. Where can they go and buy this product now? Like if they say they heard us talk about it on the radio this morning and they want to go and try it out and check it out, where can they go?
Well, first thing, you can go on to drip.com and you can go ahead and get onto our website and you can order directly. And I think that's the easiest way to do it. I know there's a lot of different shops throughout our community that carry drip.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so they're in multiple locations now.
Awesome.
And also down at Janice Live, you can also get all the drip drinks.
Oh,
and
cool.
Over at our liquor store over there, we also carry the full line of drip.
Okay.
So, which is great.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of different avenues that you can go, and I know I can go ahead and get you some more addresses, so if people are interested, so we can go ahead and have them go ahead and try our product.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I'd love to be able to educate the listeners out there and let them know, because I want them to go and try your stuff. I know it's good. I gave the one sample you gave me last week.
Yes.
I've got a buddy of mine that comes up to the restaurant. He works a little bit with me. He does cleaning. He strips my floors and takes care of like the cleanliness inside of the restaurant. And we were talking about it a couple days afterwards, and I remembered I still had it. It was in my refrigerator at work. And he's like, I said, Mike, I'll tell you, his name's Mike too.
If
you look at my phone, I've got 100 mics in there. And I don't know how I can distinguish between any of them. But I'm like, Mike, I'm like, here, why don't you try this? Give me your feedback on it, because he likes to partake a little bit too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me your feedback and let me know. And I'll tell you what, he loved it. Next day he called me, he said it was exactly as it was described. You know, you hour and 20 minutes of feeling relaxed, energy, you know, not euphoric, but just kind of like relaxed.
It's a nice little chill. The nice thing is, if you're out at a bar, and that's the thing, you can get these at different bars too, which is great.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to have alcohol, this is like, you just drink this.
Yeah.
I would drink one of these and I would go ahead and have like a water with it.
Right.
And just go ahead and you just chill.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable when you're out drinking with people. And if you don't want to have a cocktail, hey, this is an alternative.
Now, what if I, let's just say over at my restaurant, because I don't, currently I don't have a beer and wine in my place. If I wanted to sell this product in my restaurant, how would I go about doing that? What licenses would I need in order to sell that? Do you know?
Right now you don't. I think it's not going under a beer and wine license.
Really?
So you can actually go ahead and purchase that.
No kidding.
So yeah, because there's like, if you go to a lot, and I hate to use the word head shops,
yeah,
but you'll see that they already have
that's common knowledge.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
They carry all the Delta 8, the Delta 9, and all the other, the THCA, and all these other different derivatives from it. And they have all the drinks there.
Okay.
And so they're carrying it there. So you can carry this at your establishment.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to ask you about that when we met the last time, because it's something that I would definitely I'd be willing to give it a shot in my restaurant and see how it works, you know?
I got to tell you, it's just letting people know and having, you know.
I'd have to keep it in a separate cooler, you know what I mean? Maybe have it up on a menu board somewhere and we'd serve it over the counter versus like a, you know, like the customer doing self-serve. I wouldn't, you know, of course. I wouldn't want, you know, someone underage grabbing it.
Absolutely not. No, this would have to be controlled.
Of course. Very cool, man. All right, very cool. So that's drip. And how do you pronounce the word? Is it cannabinoids? Cannabinoids? How do you say that? I've never known how to say it.
I'm going to go ahead and make this butcher this to cannabinoids.
Okay, sounds good. That's Louis' company right there. All right, cool. Cool deal, man. Well, hopefully everyone out there is listening right now and they want to give it a shot, and they will try it out, because I stand behind it. And I think it's like we said in the beginning of the show, it's a great, great thing for pain reliever. It's a great thing for stress.
Absolutely.
It's great for inflammation, all the healing qualities that it possesses. It's something that, especially for older folks like ourselves.
And in the service industry, we're on our feet all day.
I know, man.
You get a little relaxation. The CDB does take the inflammation out of me.
It does.
I've got bad knees, man, and I know.
Yep.
Got a bad hip. You know, I feel like I'm going to fall down all the time.
I'll tell you, I don't know at what age you started doing. I guarantee you do it, because I think you're a little bit older than I am.
Yeah.
But I'm right there with you. At some point in our lives, every time we either sit down or we stand up, we make this horrible grunting sound.
Oh, it's terrible.
When did that start?
It started. I got to tell you.
Why did it start?
I think it started about 20 years ago for me, to be honest.
I think so too, yeah.
But it's like, I think the worst is that when you have that drive home and you get out of the car, that's like,
there's that grunt
again, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't move.
It's like, I want to get into my bed at night to go to sleep, but I don't want to go through the trouble and the pain of getting in the bed.
No, it's like,
because it hurts so bad.
It's like, do you even take your clothes off or you just go right to bed in your clothes? Because you're dead tired when you're done.
Oh, it's terrible.
The adrenaline runs all day with us.
Yeah.
And then the minute we stop and you have that downtime, it says, okay,
it just
lights off.
Game over.
Yeah, it is.
Game over. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. It's probably about 15, 20 years ago it started for me, too.
Yeah.
My wife makes fun of me all the time. She's like, you're right over there, old man. I'm like, just leave me alone and just deal with it. It's fine.
No, I get it. My kids laugh at me.
Yeah. It's true. I like to go into the end of the show with the last few minutes about things that I hate. This is when I go off on tangents and I go off on rants about just stupid stuff in the world, not restaurant related.
Got it.
We just kind of like free it up. We freestyle this segment right here. And I like to talk about a few different things that I can't stand about anything in the world. First thing that I have on my list today, when, Louis, maybe you can answer this, and Ed, if you want to chime in on this also at any point, when did it become socially acceptable for people to bring their dogs everywhere?
I'm not
talking about service dogs and service animals, because I understand there's a need and there's a much needed, you know, reason to have a service animal if you need it.
Yes.
But when did it become socially acceptable to just walk into my restaurant with a stroller and a chihuahua inside of it and expect me to serve you food? Or I go into Publix and there's a goddamn golden retriever standing in front of me. When did this happen and it became okay where society looked around and said, you know what, let's just bring our dogs everywhere?
Well, I think, I grew up in Key West.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Key West. You had the other thing. You had roosters and chickens running around all over the place,
I know the
right?
Keys, yep. Oh, yeah.
So in the Keys, everyone would always take their dogs with them.
Yeah.
So it was an acceptable situation. I didn't like it because a lot of outside seating, okay, I get it. But when you're starting to bring your animals into a restaurant,
that's what I'm saying.
People get offended.
Yes.
They do. Even with service animals. But if, like I said, there is a reason for it, and you have to have that service animal that's going to make you feel more comfortable.
Well, the difference is between a service animal is they're trained specifically to stay out of the way. They're trained to go under the tables. You know, they don't bark. They don't.
No.
They don't beg. They don't beg. They just do their job.
Exactly.
These aren't service animals that I'm talking about.
No, I'm just talking about a household pet.
I'm talking about wild animals all over the place.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I can't stand it. I hate it. Ed's giving me the 3 minute sign, so we got to keep things moving. Here's another one that I can't stand, and this goes back to personal hygiene that we were talking about earlier. Why the hell do people smell bad sometimes? You know
just
what I mean?
Don't take care of themselves.
And what
deodorant? Did they forget what that was?
There's a thing that they created many, many years ago, and it's called deodorant.
Yeah.
And soap has been around for as long as time.
Yeah.
They've been making soap. Maybe not deodorant, but soap. Why do people just don't smell bad?
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. All right, I don't know. I'm throwing in the towel, folks. That's it. Louis just made me throw in the towel. I apologize. The next thing on my list. Oh, God. This one really grinds my gears, man. Uh-huh. I hate one-uppers. I can't stand one-uppers, man. I don't want to tell a story that I'm passionate about and put my energy into it and put my descriptive terms and put everything into this. Just for someone to say, you know what, that happened to me too, but it happened to me this way, and it was this much worse than the way you describe it. What? I used to have a one-upper, man, at the shop, and we would just laugh, because like, no matter what, we just make stuff up. And I'm like, I'd tell the crew, I'd just go make up a story about whatever, right? And
see how it comes out.
And every single time, it didn't matter what that story was, he had to have a story.
It had to be better.
Oh my God.
It's got to be better than your story.
It was the best.
It's an inferiority complex.
Oh my God,
that's what it is.
I can't stand one-uppers.
That's exactly what it is.
I hate them. Hey, listen, I got to wrap things up, Louie. It has been an absolute pleasure having you here in the studio with me today.
Thank you.
We laughed, we joked, we informed. And this is what this show is all about, man. This is why I do this, because I meet great people. We joke around. We laugh. I'm laughing so hard right now that I literally have. I don't know if you can see it.
Tears in your eyes.
I'm welling up with laughter right now about the one-upper. Yes, Louie, I appreciate it. Ed, as always, we appreciate the time that you allow us to be on the air. You're listening to the Knife and Fork Radio Show, brought to you by Goodfellas Italian Knife and Fork Kitchen out in beautiful downtown Newport Richey. You can stop by and see me. We're there from 11 o'clock in the morning till 8 p.m. We're closed on Sundays. We look forward to next Thursday because we're going to do it again. I don't know what I'm going to have lined up for next week, but I know it's going to be just as good. Maybe not as good as this week's show, but hopefully we can come close. You folks have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you next Thursday. We'll be right back.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A quick turn of events at former President Trump's hush money trial in New York today, where jury selection is resuming after one panelist, a nurse, was excused when she told the judge she was concerned about her inability to be impartial. She revealed family and friends had been asking her about the case, and the judge ordered journalists not to report information about prospective jurors' answers to questions about their jobs. CBS's Robert Cox.